Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and thank you for joining us at the Lisa Experience. I'm a little nasally tonight. I had a bad week, but the show must go on, and I want to thank everybody, all the listeners, all the call-in, and listen to a great show tonight, and we're going to really enjoy ourselves. We have a lot of guests on, and I can't wait show to start hearing. So also tonight we have our co-host Miles is also on. How you doing, Miles?
Hear me?
Are you there, Miles? Yes. How you doing?
I'm doing good.
Yes.
Just sitting here relaxing, waiting to hear what I just have to say.
Okay. So, you know, when I first start, I always like to tell a little story of the Lisa experience. So I'm going to start out tonight. I want to bring up when I was a little girl. When I was a little girl, we always talked about it, but we lived in the CC Project. And my mom let me go stay with my cousin, which lived on Temple Street. So we walked up the hill, me and my cousin, and she gave me some lifesavers. So when I was sucking on one, I started choking, and I couldn't swallow it, and she couldn't help me. So we had to walk all the way down Temple Street, all the way to Building 1. I'm still choking, all the way to the elevator, to the 14th floor. And then when I got there, my mom gave me the Heimlich and took the candy out of my throat. And I always remember that because I couldn't breathe. I couldn't swallow. At 3 years old, you really don't know what's going to happen to you. But I just know that it was a traumatic experience being a little girl choking on a piece of candy. And even today, it's very hard for me to eat hard candy. And then I had another experience. Again, living in the CCP, me and my brother coming home from lunchtime, and the elevator got stuck in between floors. And everybody jumped out of the elevator, and I was the last one on. I was only 5. And my brother kept saying, "You got to jump, you got to jump." And I kept saying, "I'm afraid, I'm afraid." And he was like, "Just jump, Lisa." So most people don't know, but we had to wear dresses back then. We wasn't allowed to wear pants, and I had patent leather shoes on. So when I went to the end of the elevator, I ran to try to run out. And when I did, my shoe got caught in the groove of the elevator door. And all of a sudden, I remember something pushed me, and I fell out the elevator. I flew all the way to the incinerator. And I looked back, and I never forget that. When I looked back, it was the elevator was between floors, and you could see the shaft of the elevator. If one little moment, I would have fell down the shaft of the elevator. And then I'm going to bring up one more story. Must have been about 8 or 9, and I was at Inca Camp. And me and a friend of mine, he was playing by the water, and I tripped under the water. And I couldn't grab her foot or try to get up in the sand. You can't grab sand, and I'm grabbing sand, and I'm trying to get up, and my feet are digging in the sand, and I can't lift myself up. And I remember again, something pushed the bottom of me, and I jumped up out of the water. And I remember looking around and seeing my camp counselors who wasn't paying attention and the girl that was next to me. And I was like, "Why you didn't help me? I was drowning." And she said, "I thought you were swimming." I said, "You've been going swimming every all summer. You've never seen me swim before." But this is all to bring up a story about even though you don't realize you have it, but it's always something that's going to help you in life when it's your bad and worst moment. And that's why as I grew up as a kid, I always loved God because I knew the experiences that I went through, it was nobody but Him that saved me to get to where I'm at now. So this month, I tried to have, like I did last week, I had the Muslim, I had the Muslims on with their religion. And then this week, we got Christians. And the reason why I wanted to donate these weeks is because we have to start learning as a people, as a private, a private spirituality within ourselves, that God is always with us. We only have to let him in. He can't come in unless we let him in. He's a God of love. He don't want anything to happen to you, but you have to be willing to let him in so he can show the love. Because I'm telling you, the three experiences I just told you, if one time he wasn't there to save me, I would not be talking on this phone right now. And that's why he has been everything to me through my whole life. I remember even when I was having my daughter and you wasn't allowed to have anybody in the room with you back then. You had to, just you and the nurse. And I remember being 17 and I'm trying to have a baby and I'm by myself, and it was just a terrible experience. And I just remember that it's like a moment a girl or a woman dies while she's having a baby. That's how deep the pains are, that you just can't imagine until the baby come out. But I know only God was there that whole 2 days, me trying to birth my daughter to be safe and my child to be safe and to make it into this new world. And, you know, we should always have a testimony. Because, see, if we don't tell people what he has done for us, well, how would they believe, or how would they feel some type of way? You got to always let them know that. You got to let people know that. Don't be afraid. Talking about God is real. It's a real spirit that we talk to, that we pray to. When something happens, we call out his name to help us. And as we go this journey in life, through this world, we got to realize that there's nobody here that's going to help us. People might act like they might got your back, or they might be there when in the time of need. But when everything is silent, you don't hear anybody. The phone don't ring. The door don't knock. Nobody knocks on the door. Nobody's there for you. You're there walking through this life by yourself. But I'm here to tell you, everything that you go through, every struggle, every trial that you go through on this place called Earth, he's here to help you to make it to who you need to be. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. And I'm going to bring on the people that I have tonight after we take this brief intermission. So, bro, take us out, and then we're going to come back in. Just hold tight, everybody. Don't leave.
Hey, come on.
Hallelujah. Thank God today. I dare you begin to just tell God thank you today. Begin to open your mouth and give him glory today. Thank God for his presence today.
Show the Lisa Experience. My first guest is Barrett. Are you there?
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. Thank you for joining us tonight. I know that you I know that you grew up in a household with both parents very religious. As you grew up and got to know both religions that your parents were, as you grew up, what made you go towards and choose the religion that you are in now?
Yes, thank you. My father was a Jehovah's Witness, and my mother was a Christian. And many people would say, well, isn't that one and the same? But there are actual differences between the two. And being in the face of both sides, you get to see and experience the differences between the two. So even growing up as a young child, my brother, my sister, myself, you know, it would be a Sunday that we may go to my mother's church, or the next Sunday it may be to the Kingdom Hall with my father. So we grew up under both kind of teachings. My father passed away when I was about 11 years old. But even up until that time, when he was still alive, many people at the Kingdom Hall would we could see a leader here. We could see you coming, being great in the faith in the Kingdom Hall as a Jehovah's Witness, because I always had a zeal. Even when I was young, I had a zeal for not only just making my parents proud, but also just a zeal for God. He always had a place in my heart when I was young. So my father passed away. Of course, I kind of dwindled with going to the Kingdom Hall, even though my grandmother, your mother, Aunt Lisa, right, was still going to the Kingdom Hall and inviting me as well. So I got to really experience more of my mom's church side, the Christian side. But as an adult now, growing up, I can see that where I've landed in, or where my heart has been placed now is really the truth, where I'm learning and where I'm being fed from a biblical standpoint in this Christian faith.
Okay, and I know that you have a position in your church. And what is that position?
I'm currently an elder at my church where I worship.
Yes. Now, if many people don't know what that entails, what does that entail when people come to a church and they get like, oh, Elder Barrett is going to say something. How will we know what that entails being an elder?
Well, so it's funny you say that, because many times people will come to the church, and they may not know who the pastor is, because we're all called to be spiritual leaders, right? No matter whether you have a title or not. And so the fact is that when you hear, okay, an elder, well, that's just a position because you display certain characteristics where you are given responsibilities over the people, over prayer, over certain aspects of caring for the pastor in a sense. And so even if you're not an elder, if you're a deacon, if you're a person who just is a, what we call a lay person, we should all be striving to be holy, right? And also being full of prayer. And so that if anyone comes in and they don't know who the pastor is, they really shouldn't, because you're all following the same line of following after Christ.
Yeah, that's true. It's good that, like, I've learned too that in church that, you know, everyone has a place in the church, and that will keep it like going, because when, like you said, when you come in and sit down, everybody has a thing that they do to keep it going until the time the pastor come out, or it's time for the pastor to do his sermon. And that's like
so
how to keep things in order. And that's what's good about it. But as you said before, the Kingdom Hall is also like that too, but it's only certain people that become it, and a lot of people strive to reach a certain part, but everybody's not chosen. But, you know, that's not here or there, but I noticed that I enjoy when you do go, you get to know people. Like, it's if you notice too, when you go into a church, the person at the door, generally they pick the right person, because that person's smile is so big that you know he's welcoming you in a place. But some places a person open the door,
so true,
and it's just like a doorman, but there's no type of personality to make you feel like you'll really enter into a place that you feel that you're going to get something here. You know what I mean? From the door, you're going to get something as you walk it through. I also like when you walk in and people notice you. And it's not like some people will be like, well, who's here? Who's a guest? And the person will stand up and say, oh, I'm from somewhere, or I just stop and I live in an area or whatever, and then they may take your name or something. But sometimes people truly, after it's all over, don't really go and make that person feel that they truly were a guest in your home. It's just that they popped in and now they popping out. You know what I mean? Like, I think it's really good when you walk in somewhere and somebody really makes you feel at home, that maybe next time you will come again, because they made you feel like it was their home also. Right? Kind of?
Definitely.
Yeah. Now, like you said about your father was my brother, my oldest brother. And we all grew up Jehovah's Witnesses. And at his funeral, your mom let the Jehovah's Witness speak about your father the first night. And I was like, wow, they didn't really even know him. Like, they didn't say nothing like they really knew about him. And then the next night, your mom had Reverend Tim, who was your former pastor. And he got up there and, like, said, like, personal stuff about my brother that I didn't even know, and how he was and how friendly he was. Even though my brother still was going to the Kingdom Hall, my brother still opened his house to your mother's pastor, not knocking him off of who she wanted to praise. And I thought about it, and I said, gee, do I really want to go somewhere my whole life, and a person, they don't even really know who I am, They're only going by what's written down in the obituary that's been told to them. So I had to really evaluate my life off of that one occasion when your father had passed away. I know that your sister also followed behind your mother and you going to the church that you go to. And I want to call her on for a minute. Lynette? Lynette, you got a picture.
Hi, Lisa.
How are you doing? And this is Dad's
sister.
Good, how are you? All right, the baby of the family.
I miss Lynette.
And that's Miles.
Hello.
So, Lynette, what is your take on far as, like, that you, being so young when your father passed, that you took on going as being a Christian?
Yeah, I mean, I always felt everybody's style is different. God will talk to you in so many different ways and styles. That's why we have the Tower of Babel, right? Because God said, you know, I'm going to break you guys up. That was for different reasons, but he basically said we're going to speak in different languages at that time. And the way we worship is in different languages as well. So the way that the worship was practiced at my mom's church touched me more than it was practiced at the Kingdom Hall. So that's why I kind of stayed there. Also because, I mean, it's my mom. I'm following in her footsteps. She's a role model for me. So there is where I kind of felt more in love with God. I felt a personal touch, similar to how you had those stories of, you know, somebody pushed me, somebody was touching me. That's where I felt God the most, and that's kind of where I grew up, more so on that side than the Jehovah's Witness side. Nothing against that religion, it's just that it wasn't calling to me.
Yeah, that's true. And I think it's always good when you do grow up and you have your own choice of deciding who you want to serve. You know, as far as for God. You know what I mean?
And that's how God made us. Yeah, definitely. I agree, because God didn't make us to be robots where we're set with one program. But he gave us that free will to think and make choices of our own. And that's why I know that when you make a choice to follow after God, that it's because the Holy Spirit was revealed to you and you make that decision. Where in certain other cultures, right, you may be forced into one religion and, you know,
uh-huh.
to leave that,
uh-huh.
you would risk persecution. And that fear alone, right, or shunning of the family, that fear alone would keep you in that religion, even if you don't have a connection, even if, as you said, Lynette, that you don't have that personal touch. And that's why, Lisa, when you mentioned about going into the church and you feel so welcome, I always, in my mind, I always think about the TV show Cheers, because part of the theme is that it's where everybody knows your name. And the fact is that that's where you want to go. You want to go where everybody just not only knows your name, but they know your heart. They share the love with you. They share fellowship with you. They share experiences with you. And it was so touching because you said my father was a Jehovah's Witness all his life, but yet when he passed away, no one said anything personal about him. But yet a church that he wasn't even a true member at, his wife was, knew more personal things about him. So that just goes to show that, you know, with Jesus, it's all about love. It's all about having a personal relationship, more so than just titles and rules and the boundaries. It's more so breaking out of that norm, but saying, hey, I know you personally by your name, and even deeper than that.
A question.
Yes, go ahead, Miles.
Oh, you hear the echo sound. You lost your father at 11. Now, did you ever think about following his footsteps? You wanted to carry on his religion?
That's a great question. So, yeah, definitely, because as my sister pointed out, my mother was like her role model. Well, that's how it was for me and my dad, and I'm sure for a lot of young men, a lot of boys, right, when they have their father is most of the times their role model, who they emulate. And so that was the fact, even then at an early age, a younger age, going to the Kingdom Hall, I'd have other members at the Kingdom Hall, and even my grandmother said, you're gonna come back, or you're gonna follow this religion, you're gonna be a leader. Like, they almost saw that within me, right? It was really more so just that I love God so much, and really, yeah, I did want to please my father and make him proud. But at 11 years old, knowing that, hey, I was kind of still too young to make a decision, but
right.
I know that God. Right. Hello?
Now we hear you.
Okay, I'm sorry. So I know that even now, God set it up so that it happened that way, so that I can land where I am now.
So as you is now, do you ever people who are you ever spend time with them and speak about your father and his belief?
I'm sorry, you were breaking up just a little bit. What was the question?
No, I'm saying to this day, because that's this echo. To this day, do you ever speak about your father to other people that are Jehovah's Witnesses about what you went through?
I've spoken with it with my grandmother, who was also, you know, very much into the Jehovah's Witness religion. So, and of course, that's her son. So she would know more about him than I would know about him as a son, and him being my father, since she raised him. And so, yes, I would speak to her about it from time to time.
Okay.
Randy, do we got Poovy on? Randy?
Hey, Harry.
How you doing?
I'm good.
Okay, so Lynette is on and Barrett is on, and Miles, my co-host. This is Poovy. I knew her since she was 2 years old, and I watched her grow up, and she's also a Christian. And I wanted to ask her intake on how she felt that she came into, Christianity and the stage that she's in now. Did you want to talk a little bit about that, Poovy? Because I know you have your kids, so I don't want to keep you. I don't want to keep you for long.
Yeah, sure. My mom is a Christian. Her faith is really, really strong. So. Growing up and watching her being a part of like youth groups as a young girl, it's always been like there in my life. I want to say I didn't take it as seriously until about a few years ago. I became a mom, and so I started to take my faith a lot more serious because it wasn't just about me. It was about making sure my children were spiritually covered, and just, you know, as you become an adult, certain trials that you face and things that you go through, you know, I feel like you feel the attacks of, you know, the enemy more as an adult, well, for me anyway, than anything. So I feel like just to tackle anything in life and deal with life's trials, you have to understand that not only are, you know, some things are out of your control, but, you know, you need a higher power. You need God to be able to, you know, work through those things and be able to have peace with a lot of things. And it just changes your whole perspective once you do, you know, really dwell in your faith, you know, reading the Bible. It just changes your whole perspective of things. It makes you see yourself in a different light. So it just, it changes everything around you. And for me, it, like, literally changed my life.
Yeah, and it does. As I was saying to Barrett earlier, is that I start going to this church with my cousin on Sunday. And, you know, first when you go, you just sit and just watch and you listen and, you know, see what's going on. So, you know, as I went every week, I start noticing that they did the same thing every week. It never changed, never. Every week they said hi. Every week they hugged before you went home, and all of them knew your name. And to me, that was the most awesome thing I ever seen, because I've been many places, and like I said, you could tell where real love is at. And even, like I said, the person at the door, you could tell that he's watching not only the parking lot, but he watches you as you come in to make sure you're safe, because we don't live in a normal world. And when you come in, he always has a smile on his face to let you know that he's the first person that you see, and he's the last person that you see. And like I said, and then once you get in, and then you see how everybody, it goes around the circle, that everybody's smiling, everybody's happy, everybody's doing the same thing. It's not some people, I've been to churches, and as soon as it's over, everybody get in a little circle, and they, you know, different little circles, or they in a little clan, or, you know, you just stand up, and then you don't know where to go, and then, so you just walk out, and you come back the next week, and it's the same thing. And you just walk out, and, you know, you have to be put in a group. And it's just good to be somewhere where you can feel that you don't have to find a group. The whole group is everybody, because that's the way Jesus made everybody feel. When everybody was following him, to hear his sermon and his message, nobody didn't say, oh, well, y'all got to stay back there. Or, no, everybody over here got to be over here. No, everybody was following him to listen to what he had to say about his father. And then he just said to his disciples, oh, you know what? Well, we're only going to feed the most choicest people out here, everybody else that's be hungry. No, he fed everybody till they was full. And that's what people got to start realizing, that a church is only the house that we house ourselves to hear about God. But I hear every Sunday, he said, churches, when you walk in your job, when you walk in the store, when you go to your home, when you go into a store, when you go somewhere visiting, you have to carry that Christ-like person with you everywhere you go. You just can't have it in church, and then once you walk out, you're a whole other person. Because if he's really changing you, he's changed you for to feel that way your whole life. And that's what I try to work in. Like, when I walk in my job, I want them to feel a new aura when I walk in, and they know that she's here. She's here to do her best. She's here to do not only her best, but to make everybody feel good while they're here. And as long as I feel that I'm doing that, then I know that I'm doing right. If I'm in the store and I'm on a line, say hello to the person in the back or in the front of you. You don't have to have a conversation with them, but it's nothing to saying hi, and then you can talk. And if you break up a conversation, let them know. That's how you get around. We always say that black or white, but it's not black or white. It's just human beings want the same thing from other human beings. Does anybody else have anything to say?
I want to ask a question, two questions. First of all, like you're right, church, you should feel like you're at home when you're in a church, you know, and not just a spectator. You know, this is a family. We are family. We got each other's back. God bless you. I bless you. We all bless each other. And like you said, there's some people, once you come out that church all of a sudden they act totally different. I don't get it, but I don't understand it. But I think that we need to focus on one thing. We all God's children, and we have to get along. And another thing, and if any one of you three on here is married?
I'm married.
Yes.
Okay, now.
I'm married as well.
Okay, now, Christian marriage, how do that work? You know, is it where you have to meet with the minister before he marries you guys and see if you're compatible, getting along and all that stuff? Is there a different way you have to go through before they do your I do's and everything?
Well, for me, me and my husband was already together for 7 years before we got married. So it wasn't like he was saying, "Oh, you guys are compatible."
Yeah, we're not.
But it was more like I felt like it prepared us to make that covenant with God. And I was even talking to, I literally was just talking to my pastor about it the other day, saying how, you know, we've been together for so long that I didn't really think it was going to be a change. You know, you go over, you know, the Bible scriptures and stuff like that, and it's like, okay, we've been kind of doing something similar. And I'm like, okay, it's not going to be much of a difference, but it is a lot of a difference. Like, I've been telling people lately, like, when you get married, especially, like, you have a godly marriage, God makes things happen. He'll shake certain things up to reveal things to you. And for me specifically, like, I learned that, you know, it's a different level of commitment. It's a different level of love. It's a different level of loyalty. It's a different level of faith in God. Like, you know, you guys pray together. Like, literally, the Bible gives you, you know, instructions on how to treat each other. And we honor that. Like, we try to, you know, basically go about it as much as possible. And I feel like it's made our relationship a lot better. We've grown a lot closer. And you feel the oneness a lot more than I did before we were married. So even though, you know, we've been together for all of this time, it significantly changed after we got married. And I feel like anything God has put into it changes. Like, we fasted 7 days before we got married. Our pastor, you know, asked us questions, like really hard questions about, you know, the duration of our relationship, things that have happened, things that we've gotten through. So it's like, it's not really like giving you permission, but it's more like going over your relationship and questioning and evaluating, is this something that is God ordained and that you should move forward with? Not really he giving you permission, but from my experience, it was like he was helping us to evaluate if this was the right move.
And what's the nephew name there? The
Barrett.
And was it the same for you?
Say it again.
I was talking to Barrett. Was it the same for him?
For my husband?
Him. No, not your husband. Barrett. I'm talking to him.
Barrett, okay.
Barrett, I was asking him, was it the same for him?
And I'll answer that yes. But Puvi, I just want to say that was great what you shared. Everything you said was so right, is that when you place God at the center of your relationship, he will work things out that we can't as people, as a couple, because a little pebble could really cause a big ripple. But God will say, listen, peace be still. And he'll make it so that you guys can work it out as long as you both are focused on him. So everything you shared, Puvi, it really touched me. I got to say that. I'm almost on the brink of tears because that was so
beautiful.
Amen
to that. Amen to that.
Amen.
I got to bring – oh, I'm sorry, Barry. You finished? No?
No, go right ahead.
I got one more person to bring in. Paul, are you there? Paul. Hello?
You're not on here?
He should be coming on. He was on earlier.
Hello?
Paul?
Hello? Yes?
Hi. So this is my cousin, Paul. He's one of, not old as me, but he's in between. So, Paul, we have Barrett, we have Poovy, and we have Lynette, and my co-host, Miles. And Paul also, like most of us on the show, he grew up with both parents being in a religion, that he grew up being religious. Actually, his mother and my mother were sisters. So, Paul, tell
Grandma.
Us, tell us, you know, briefly or go into how you feel that you walked your way into Christianity.
Amen, amen. Thank you. I want to say thank you for inviting me, and hello to the other guests that's on the line. This is being an honor. Basically, you know, Lisa, how, you know, I grew up with Christian parents and in the church and everything, and, you know, I was always singing. I think I sang at your wedding. I'm not sure. Yeah, I think so. So anyway, so I grew up in the church, and, you know, as years went on, I lost my father when I was 10, then I lost my mom when I was 14. Everything was still going well, but then, you know, as you get older, you know, you think you know more than the elders. I was staying with my aunt. She was our guardian after my mom passed away. And she would tell us to go to church. She went to a church around the corner, a Baptist church. So I used to go there, but I grew up Presbyterian. So it was a little bit, you know, just the worship is different, put it that way. You know, I was going there. And then, like, one Sunday or so, me, my brother, and my cousin at the time where I was staying, you know, she didn't call us no more for church. She just said, I'm not going to wake y'all up for church if y'all don't want to go. I ain't going trying to waste my breath. So, you know, we just like, hey, if we go, we go. We don't, we don't. And there are times I did go. I went to my old church, Presbyterian church, or I go to the church around the corner where my aunt was at, where she went. But then, you know, life hits. Got older. Wasn't doing good. I wasn't a straight-A student. Got myself involved into the streets and everything. And, you know, the rest was history. I just got into drugs. So the first time I really was getting myself together, I went to a church in Patterson. I went out, you know, and I got saved. And I got filled with the Holy Spirit. But still, I was happy I got delivered. But I believe, number one, it's the wrong type of people I was with in the church. I'm not blaming them because of me backsliding after that, you know, years and years and years, you know, going to jail, back and forth, going to church, back and forth. But I always knew that, God always covered me, because in situations where I shouldn't have been, he allowed me to get out of. I'm just speeding it up is when one day I remember I was at a church in Patterson, at my pastor's church, and I came into church, and one of the members said to me, because I was on the run, and said, Paul, if you only knew how much Jesus loved you. Now let me tell you, I knew the word, I knew the Holy Spirit, I knew, you know, what Jesus, you know, did, and he died and all of that, but I still wanted to do what I wanted to do, and I allowed the enemy to, you know, do that. But until one day, I'm living here in Trenton, going to a church, struggling, you know, my last time I got high, I just said, I just really want to know. I remember what that lady said, if you only knew how much Jesus loves you. And I was remembering that. And even though what people knew about me or what I was going through, I remember sitting in a room getting high. And I used to say, I'm going to be the best preacher that God called me. I'm going to be the best prophet that God called me. I'm smoked out my mind, but I'm confessing this. I'm confessing this. And the more I found my, when I found myself doing, I found myself less and less smoking crack until one day I didn't do it no more. I got engaged. I got married. It'd been 13, matter of fact, 2 weeks ago, maybe, 13 years being married, 14 years not doing drugs or alcohol, you know. I'm a part of society today. I'm a pop-pop. I'm a stepfather. But I just give God all the glory. I just give God all the glory. Today, my life is a reflection of what Christ can do. The church is me. See, the church, the actual church of the building is really a church that we go to worship the Lord. But the church is really me. We are the church. When I go to work, there's the church. The people on my job, you know what, I've never been on that, but this job I've been on 5 years, and I can play my Christian music, and nobody don't say a thing. Nobody. I be in my own little section. And also, you know, I like R&B too. You know, I play some R&B for them. You know, we all, you know, I ain't so spiritual that I ain't no earthly good. You know, I'm down to earth person. But I know my faith in the Lord, that where the enemy, well, if he tries, he can't not come. Because I'm strong and rooted in the word of God. And you have to be wise as serpents, like the Bible says today in this world. The enemy is cunning, and we have to be on our point and our guard. And knowing that I know that I serve a loving and a forgiving God. And it's up to me, up to us, to share the same message of hope and love to those in this dark world. I hope I didn't say anything wrong, but thank you, Lisa.
Oh, yes. Thank you, Paul. And, you know,
that was a beautiful testimony.
Amen.
Thank you so much.
And let me tell you, like I said, everybody has a testimony. It don't matter how where it took you from to get where you at. Everybody takes time to get where they supposed to be. That's why I love Moses. Like, God told him what he wanted him to do, but he wasn't ready. So he left and went somewhere else for a while. And then God came to him and said, why have you did what I said? And then he still had to go do what God asked him. So sometimes we could not forget God, but not be where we're supposed to be at. But when we get there, it's the right time. You know what I mean? It's the right time because he's always calling us. It's just that we have so much going on that we don't hear his voice. That's my main thing all the time. I'd be like, God, why can't I hear your voice? Why can't I hear what you're trying to tell me? Because I've always got so many other voices around me that I can't hear it because that's why I like in the morning. Like, I get up early. I have to work at 7. So I get up 4 o'clock every day. But I live by myself. And I sit and I just wait to hear from him. And let me tell you, sometimes when you sit there peacefully, you don't know what's waiting for you. Because sometimes I go outside my door and something happens to me. I'm going to tell you a little story. I walked out my door one day. And I start walking to my car. And I don't know, something said turn around. When I look up the street, was 2 pit bulls, not on a leash. Now, I can't run anymore. And I just said, I don't know what I'm going to do because I can't jump on cars no more and I can't run. So I just start walking. And then when I turned around, there was like maybe 2 inches from me. And I made it to my car, and I opened the door, and I got in. And they came to my car door. And I said, only God, only God. Because I was the only one walking out there. They were loose, and I was a victim. And that's why I say that he could prevent things from happening in your life when you believe and trust in him. That's why I always tell people that go to church or something like, oh, I don't know why things are happening to me. Oh, I don't know, things just happening, things going on. And I said, because you don't trust him. You talk about him all the time, but you really don't trust God. You really don't. Okay, I got one more thing, and I'm going to let y'all in. I get a shot every Saturday, and my daughter gives it to me. So I went over there to get a shot, and I didn't know that she left her phone on top of my car. So I'm driving to work, and I work 40 minutes away from my house, 40 minutes, and I just take the highway. And I do like 60 or 70. So she called me off her husband's phone and said, Mommy, I believe I left my phone on top of your car. And I was like, nah, you couldn't have did that. I pulled my car over, got out, and guess what? Her phone was sitting right where she left it. Didn't move, didn't slide, didn't do anything. That's a testimony for her to let her know that God is here for you. Because it wasn't my phone. Was to let you know he's in your life. And even though you just say, oh, it's a phone, but it wasn't that it was a phone. It was that I drove 40 miles to my job. Phone never faltered. And that's how God is. He ain't there when you want him all the time, but he's there when you need. He needs to be there. And that's what we got to remember. Like Paul said, sometimes a person tell you something and you don't pay no attention to it. And then down the road, when something happened, and that's why I always tell people always be in church looking at the scriptures on their phone. And that's a cute thing, don't get me wrong, but I always tell people, find it in your Bible. I said, because if one time, if something happened in the world and you got to be in prison in your house or in the room, you're not going to be able to use your phone. So you got to learn where the scriptures at and the books of the Bible. So that if they do give you a Bible, you can read it and you know where scripture's at. Don't let people take that away from you.
Mm-hmm.
Lisa, you know one thing? Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
You know, one thing we got to understand about God is that he sacrificed his son for all of us. Now, how many of us would do that? You remember the Last Supper? They knew. He was going to get burned, but he still forgave all of them. Moses, all the bad things he did, and God still came to him because he know everybody could change. Once you put God in your life, things get better. God come when he comes, not on your term, as on his terms. And we got to remember that. You know, we can't go like, oh, why God ain't come when I call. It don't work like that. You don't tell God what to do. He do it on his terms. He know when it's time for him to help you with this or help you with that. God send message to us every day. We just got to understand them and recognize them when they come.
Yes,
that's how I look at it.
I did a GoFund for only $300. I wanted to help youth to learn chess. Now, I'm not going to even worry about somebody donating to me or not, but I'm going to tell you, my faith was so strong that I want to help young boys that this week, while I was out sick, they did a raffle at my job, and I won $500. Not only did God give me $300 for what I needed for GoFund, he gave me two extra $100 to do what I wanted to do for myself. That's what I'm saying, how powerful a God that we serve.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying? Because what we feel is impossible, he make possible. Now,
amen.
Anybody who wants to do that, go ahead.
A lot of people don't do that. You know, this is what gets me. Everybody talk about they don't believe in God. They worship something they don't see, but they treat other people bad, right? But every time somebody get hurt and trouble, the first thing they holler, oh, Jesus, oh, God, help me. Now all of a sudden you ask them for help.
Yeah.
You didn't believe in them, but now you about to go to prison, about to get shot, about to die. Oh, God, please help me. Please help me. All the time.
Oh, we have one more person on the line. Are you there? Hello?
It's nobody Hello? Pressing one. It's nobody okay, pressing one at this time.
Okay. So did anybody want to say one thing before we get ready to start closing out?
I wanted to ask, is Byron his name?
Oh, stop messing up my nephew's name. Is Barrett.
Barrett. I'm sorry. Forgive me, my brother. I wanted to hear what he said about, you know, his, you know, when before he got married, how he, you know, from a man point of view. I heard from the lady side of it. I just want to hear from, you know, a man's side of it, what they had to go through, you know, a Christian wedding. You know, like, you know, the stuff they, you know, you had to do, was anything you had to do different, or I understand what the lady said she went through. And I was wondering if he had to go through the same thing.
In terms of, you mean counseling before the marriage?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, yeah. Well, first I'll say that my lovely wife, I met her in high school.
All right.
We've been together since senior year high school, if I got the years correct. I always want to extend it because that's how much I love her. I want to love to, you know, grow and be as long as God will allow it. And it is that we've been together since that time. I'm not going to put a year on it, so I won't age myself. But we've been married now for close to 16 years, if I'm not mistaken, 16 years. And so,
don't forget, women don't like that.
No, I'm making it right. I'm getting the right number. I'm 16 years.
Oh,
and so, what happened is that at the time, my former pastor, we went through Christian counseling, just to, as Poovy mentioned, just to really make sure that our hearts were aligned. And more so not just by what we felt for one another, but also where God was in our lives. That way, if anything arose, pastor would make sure that we were on the same accord in terms of how to deal with that. Or when it came to prayer as a family, did we place it as a priority? You know, finances, did we pray over that? Do we come together as a couple? So, you know, you could go to counseling in the world for many things, and they're not going to have a godly perspective on it. So based on what we did through our pastor at that time, we, as Poovy mentioned, the hard questions were asked. So therefore, the godly answer could be given. You know what I mean?
Right.
Even if our answers weren't I don't want to say right or wrong, but if they weren't as far as he saw through his spiritual eyes, right, his spiritual ears, something that lined up according to God's word, he could give us guidance on that and really give us a different perspective. You know, as with many things, people will say, oh, y'all look so cute together, or you guys have been together so long, you might as well get married. Well, you know what? That might not be what God intended for you. You know, that might not be exactly what his will is. And so you need somebody of a godly nature, godly perspective to really weigh in and use discernment more so than what was shown on the outside. And say my last piece was that, Annalisa, you mentioned at the very start of the call about when you were younger and you were slipping and you were almost drowning. So something pushed you up. And that testimony, man, it touched my heart. It was so powerful. Because you also said that the counselors, they weren't even around, right?
And then you also said that your friend, who around your age, was there, but yet and still your friend thought that you were just slipping. And I said, man, isn't that so crazy? That's exactly how the world is and how we as people are as well, is that we may expect people to be in certain positions, but yet we'll be disappointed when they're not. And really our trust should be in God, because God is always in position to save us. And then the fact is that your friend who was there, she was right next to you, but yet she thought you were just swimming. And here you are fighting for your life, about to lose it. Yet from her perspective, she thought you were just having a good old time and swimming. And yet that's the same how we feel as our relationships with others as well, is that many people look at us and say, oh, you got it going on, or everything was good, you know, from the outside looking in, but really they don't know the turmoil that's going on inside. And that's why we need God in our hearts. We need God to really allow him to speak to us, as you mentioned, because he's the one that will save us. He knows what's going on inside. That if others say, oh, I thought you were just swimming. Oh, I thought you looked good and everything was all right with you. Oh, I didn't know you was going through that. That's because God knows. And if you place your heart and submit to Jesus Christ, and as my cousin Paul said, get saved. I want to say this before my time is done. I encourage anyone listening who is not saved to give your heart over to Jesus. He will forgive your sins. He's a loving God. He will forgive you. He will set your heart on a new path, a path of righteousness and life, everlasting life, salvation. But you must submit to him. I encourage anyone who's not saved to get saved. Find a Bible teaching church, a Bible teaching pastor. Follow their lead as they follow Christ, but get yourself saved. The time is drawing near when this world is coming to an end, and Jesus is coming back soon. And I encourage you, for anyone who hasn't, to give their lives over to Christ.
A quick question to all you that have children. I just want to know, if your children, like you all Christian, and your children, do you force your religion on them, or you allow them to pick their own?
Say the question again. I'm sorry.
Now, okay, the lady right here, I hear you got a little kid, right? What's that, a little boy, girl?
Cool, daughter.
Girl.
Daughter. Now, as she grow up, I know she's going to be believing in God, but if she don't want to be a Christian or want to be a Baptist or something or another religion, will you support that, or will you try to keep her in the same religion you in? That's what I'm asking. Any one of y'all that got children, they grow up, yeah, they believe in God, but they believe in a different religion. Will you support that? Their choice.
Personally, I'm not like I'm not strict about if you're Pentecostal, if you're Methodist or Baptist. I feel like the word is really what is the food. It's the prayer, fasting. Like, I feel like as long as they are rooted in those foundations, know who Jesus is and that Jesus died for their sins and who God is, I feel like that's the most important thing. I feel like the labels with the Baptists and Methodists and other stuff, like, those are things that we created ourselves.
Right.
But the Bible is God. Jesus is, you know what I mean? Those things can't be redefined. Other things, as far as, like, you know, the religious structure, whatever floats your boat, whatever you feel more comfortable in that structure, but just know who died for your sins, and that's Jesus. Know that the word of God is what guides you, is what saves you. You know what I mean? It's what protects you. I feel like that's what I focus on with them. I've never even really gone over like Methodist and things like that with them, but you know, we pray every night. I tell them, you know, we go to church and they know about God, but I feel like that's the most important. Cause my mom was, truth be told, she was Catholic and she never really forced Christianity on me or Catholicism on me, but she always pushed the word, the Bible. Like, that was her thing in prayer. So I plan to do the same thing with them as well.
See, I love to hear that. See, that's what I'm talking about. How about you brothers, the two guys on here? Y'all feel the same?
I believe the Bible says train a child when they are younger, when they're old, they will not depart from the faith. Now, a lot of ways you can look at that, because you could train them and you can raise them in the church. You could show them, they could see God's healing, divine power, divine favor upon their lives. But Christ don't force his will on nobody. So, you know, they may depart and leave the church. But, you know, when they get old, it would draw them back. You know, they will remember the faith. You know, if they step out of church or they stop going to church, something in life will happen. God forbid, they're able to come back fully with a good mind and just saying, hey, let me get back to church. You know, another part, too, is that when you train your son and daughter, whoever, your aunt, your cousins, whoever you're raising, you know, and you're being a guardian or their child or their parent. It's when you show the word and you express the word and express Christ's love, not saying that you're going to be a perfect parent, they're going to be perfect people around them. But in difficulty times, you as a parent, you will have to have an open mind and hear your children speak. You know, listen to their cries. And when they go through something, when they get older, you know, you're able to coach them. You know, not just throw a Bible scripture at them. No, listen to them. And the Lord will give you wisdom what to say and how to say it. And you can be coming out the Bible, but the Lord can twist that thing around that where they don't know. It sounds where it can heal them because you're giving them a word of encouragement, you know.
Right.
So there's a lot of ways you can look at that. You should never force. You know, I know people that have been there, you know, you know, you ain't supposed to be looking at TV. You can't wear makeup. This is our religion. You can't have a boyfriend, girlfriend. Can't look at movies. I mean, to me, in my church, when I got saved, that's what they was telling me. You can't do nothing. Being holy, live holy. But that's all I like to say about that. And I want to add one more thing to what my cousin was saying about marriage and counseling. I'm the elder of a church. Been an elder a couple of years now. But as an elder, and I love what my cousin said, you know, going to your pastor who is full of age, what I'm saying, I ain't saying he has to be 80 or 90, but full of age in the word of God and have knowledge, and he's your overseer. He's your shepherd, and he cares about you. I also say this, as being the elder, and I've seen this, just because you're an elder, you can't marry everybody, to be honest, because there is accountability on our hands about that marriage. Because I know some people that they're elder, and they like, well, I marry my cousins, and I've been married four or five people. You know, that's all good and well. But for me, unless the leading of the Holy Spirit and my pastor, if somebody asks me, I will ask my pastor, for what he would think and how he would pray about it. But as elders, you know, the Bible says lay hands on no one suddenly. And so we have to be careful. Even when counseling, we have to be wise. You know, have your pastor there if you're going to counsel somebody. Your pastor should train you, should stand there and hear the conversation. And you know, it's just that you have to be careful who's marrying you. You know, who's marrying you? Because just because they got a title and they got the nice church doesn't mean, you know, they can be in church all their life. But guess what? They got a small Christ, and they got their Christ is a midget. Where you can have somebody who just came to the church a year but have a big God to show and prove. That's all I need to say.
So do do any of y'all mind, you know, to the listeners out here, letting them know what churches y'all attend? The name of them and where they located?
No problem. This is Barrett, and I attend Faith Chapel Reformed Church, 618 Broadway in Patterson.
This is Prudy. I attend Love of Jesus on Broadway in Patterson. I don't know the number of the building.
And that's Paul. Paul, you in the Jersey City or Atlantic? Where you at?
No, I live in Hamilton, New Jersey, but my church is in Browns Mills, New Jersey.
and my church is called Healing Waters World Church.
All right. What about you, Lisa?
No, Miles, I'm not going to sing. But where you at?
That's my girl.
I go to Zion and Passaic, 358 Main Avenue in Passaic, and I do have to say that every time I do go to church, my life is more fulfilled than when I'm out. But we do have to realize that while we are in church or God is leading us, Satan is very busy attacking us. And it gets to be very hard when you know that you're being attacked because you're a child of God. So whenever I do start going anywhere, I always try to keep my full suit of armor on because, like I said about the Bible, you can't always have your phone. But if you're somewhere and you got your Bible or you got scriptures that you remember, those scriptures will help you to make it when you're being attacked. Because sometimes the attack is not just by one thing. It could be many things. And you have to be prepared. Because as Barrett and Poovy said, we're winding down. And there's no time to really play. We really got to get ourselves bounded by the word, because you never know hour or what time something's going to happen. I like one time when the pastor said, when a storm is coming, nobody know when a storm is coming. One day you're somewhere, even if the news say, oh, we're going to be having a storm, whatever, whatever, you still don't know. And then one day you're hit and you're in a storm and you're not prepared. Now, we don't have to know when is it coming, because that's not for us to know, but we can be prepared that when it comes, do we have all we need if the storm do come? And I want to thank everybody for joining me tonight, Poovy, Barrett, Lynette, Paul, and Miles. I want to thank you, everyone, for tonight, because I think that when you do bring church and the things people feel about it to the forefront, you get people thinking about a lot of things. Maybe it's not going to change anybody's life or change anybody's thoughts, but it's always good to know so that when you go somewhere, you can look for these qualities. You know what I mean? The next time you go visit a church and you sit down, just don't listen to the message. Look around and see. Are you getting everything that you need? Do you feel the spirit in the church? Do you feel what's going on is something that you want to be a part of? You know what I mean? Your family, you can't choose who you're going to be in your family. But anything else in life, you could choose. We have a choice. And like Paul said, just like marriage, it's good. If you want to get married, talk about it. It's bad to get married, then you later you realize it's saying, oh, okay, this is not right. I want to tell you one more thing I'm going to leave. This one girl, my husband passed away, the last one, she said to me, oh, he always talked about how much he loved you, oh, he just how much he loved you, how much he loved you. And I said, you know what? That's nice. I said, but if he just would have told me one time that he loved me, that would have been more important than him telling you that he loved me. And that's how God is. We can always say, oh, we love Jesus, oh, we love God, oh, he's everything to us here. But do we tell him by doing the things that we need to do? Like, he gave me the position I got at my job. Every day I go, I show the God in me. I show the love in me. So when people walk in that house, they know that you ain't walking to a house that you got to cut the air. You walk into a loving house, because that's the way I make all my workers and me. Because it's nothing like walking in a job and you feel that you ain't welcome. So I just want to thank everybody again for coming on.
I want to say something before you cut off to all the guests. you know, to all of y'all, I thank y'all for y'all testimony. But in my case, I'm totally blind, and I hit the streets by myself. I travel by myself, and I know God got my back. So when I'm out there, it doesn't scare me to be out there, because I know whatever happens is going to happen in life anyway. But I know God is with me, and I keep the faith. And a lot of people, my family, always worry about me when I be out there. You know, somebody going to rob me, or I'm going to get hit by a car and all that. I say, hey, I could fall down in the house and get hurt. I don't let that stop me from doing what I'm doing, because I know with God in my heart and in my head, I'm going to be all right. And I want to thank y'all for y'all testimony, and God bless all of you.
So, bro, I know we took it over a little bit further. I want to thank you. And we're going to close out. Everybody be safe. Everybody have a nice week. And I want to thank God for letting me have my voice tonight. I don't usually tell people this, but I had COVID this week. I've been in the bed for 6 days. And all day long, my brother tell you, I worked on trying to have my voice. And I just kept telling God, please let me like have this show tonight, of all shows. And he has just been so wonderful to me that my voice is not up to really par, but I still was able to do what I need to do. So, bro, take us out, and everybody have a good night.
Good night, everyone. God
good
bless.
Good night. Take care. My joy in the time.
Thank you.